joins us. Shagar, been saying this for a while, and now that we're officially in the buyout window, now I always like to preface this. I don't like buyouts. You're chasing your tail. I'm not a big fan of them. But if you have to do one, I would rather buy out Mikko Koskinen than James Neal. What would you do?
Yeah, we were chatting about this on the morning show today, too. Yeah, and I listened to your opening segment, and you make some good points. I guess, really, that boils down to what you feel James Neal might be able to contribute next season. And if you feel that James Neal can, you know, still hold down that spot on the power play, and if you feel he can play, you know, half or so, three-quarters of the games, and be in the lineup, you know, then you, like, as it sounds like you do, then I think you're probably okay with keeping him around versus, you know, waiting or having to pay him all that money and the money against the cap for the next four seasons. So I think that makes some sense what you were talking about. But if you think, you know, James Neal is going to be in and out of the lineup and hard pressed to stay in, and that his game's going the wrong way, you know, you can do a lot of good with the $3.8 million cap savings on a team that's trying to improve right now. So what do you think he's capable of? And my honest answer is, I'm not really sure. The illness definitely, you know, took its toll on him this year. But he was a guy that I thought did a better job the previous year of, you know, being a little bit more usable in those sorts of moments. So this is a tough one for the Oilers. The other thing, too, correct me if I'm wrong with Neil, but if they waited a year, isn't it way better for them to buy him out next year?
Well, the savings is identical. All it is because it would still be 3.8 that they would save in the 1 year, but they would only have 1 year of dead cap space, which is what I said. You could buy out Koskinen now. He's dead cap space next season, right? Then you buy out Neal. So you would have 1 year where both of them are dead cap space, which obviously isn't ideal. I'll make that abundantly clear. It's not ideal.
Right.
But, you know,
so
there is.
Next year, then you've got 22-23. Where he's dead cap space, and 23-24 when he's dead cap space.
Well, technically only the second year, because next year if you didn't buy him out, he would be a 5.5 cap hit, right?
But if you bought him out at this time next year.
Yeah. So that first year doesn't count as dead cap space. It's kind of a savings because you're clearing off his 5.5 cap hit and
okay.
It's dropping down to 1.9. And then the following year, it would be dead cap space. If you bought him out now, he would be dead cap space for a year later than if you bought him out next year.
Up to 24-25.
Yes.
Right? So I think from a longevity standpoint, like how long you're going to be paying or you're going to be suffering this cap hit, it might make sense, especially because they don't have a ton on the left wing. It might make sense to sit tight, see how much game he's got left, and if you were going to execute a buyout, maybe that's the one that maybe next year is where you'll feel less pain in doing that. But really, it boils down to what you think he's going to be able to give you this year. And, you know, the $3.8 million that they would save would definitely go a long way for them, but this is a year where they aren't as strapped as they have been in other years. So maybe it does go the other way, and it does go Koskinen. I'm not sure. It'll be really interesting to see which way they go with this.
Yeah, to me it would be Koskinen. If they've decided we got to free up some cap space, that's their decision, and I understand it. And the other thing for me, Shagar, is part of it's, well, what's James Neal capable of? But I look at it this way: James Neal's role on the Oilers next season. If he's he splits time with Puljujärvi on the power play net front presence, because Chiasson's not re-signed, right? So instead of Chiasson and Puljujärvi, it'll be Neal and Puljujärvi. And then he's playing, you know, fourth line left wing 5-on-5, you know, maybe third line depending on how his season goes. Well, his role isn't as important, I think, to the overall success of your team compared to the goalie that's going to start 35 games. And that's why, to me, I think I would rather get a starter or even a split starter, because if Mike Smith's coming back, I don't expect him to start more than 50 games at the most, probably. So, you know, I'm still looking at 35 to 47 type of thing as a split, maybe even closer. So that guy, I argue, is more valuable to your team, so I need better performance from that position than I do from Neal's position.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like Koskinen, when Koskinen plays, he's got more impact on the outcome of a game than when Neal plays. I take that. I understand what you're saying there. I also wonder if there are other options with Koskinen, though. I mean, what's the cap savings on them having Koskinen in the minors or having Koskinen, you know, not with the team? And I guess if you were willing to do that, and if you got the okay to do that, like, what will the situation be with Koskinen? If it's very clear to him that, look, you know, they're gonna go find other goalies, and so you'll be in the American Hockey League this year, you know, what does he want to do? Is he going to come back to make that check, or is there, you know, some money for him overseas that is not the money that he's making here, but that he's not in the American Hockey League and riding buses and such? So I don't know if that's something that they'd be willing to do. I'm not sure, but I mean, with Neil, it just is what it is. I just wonder with Koskinen if there are other options, you know, if the contract, if there's a way for it to get terminated. What do you think to Koskinen, our plan is to have you in the American League this year?
Well, I think there's 4.5 million reasons why he would say, I'm fine with that.
Right.
Because he's not getting that. Like, he's walking away from 4.5 mil. That's why I don't see him being terminated. That's pretty, like, that's a lot of money to walk. Like, you know, you've seen some guys walk away from their deal because they were getting more. He's not getting 4.5 in the KHL.
No, yeah, I agree.
So that's why I don't think it would happen.
Yeah. And, yeah, and that's fair. I don't know what kind of money would be on the table for him to play in Europe. I don't know, you know, I don't know if it makes it something that he's willing to consider. So, anyway, I guess we'll see. The buyout does make some sense. Then they need to figure out what their plan is with the goaltending. And, you know, Mike, as much as I think they want to have Mike Smith back and want to have Mike Smith part of things this year, they got to figure out what their plan is. They got to put a plan in place for the goaltending for the next 2, 3, 4 years. You know, and they got a guy that's coming along nicely, but I don't think is on the trajectory that the team needs to have a real high-end quality goaltender. So that's part of why maybe moving on from Koskinen allows them to start that process and really get it going here and picking, you know, hopefully for their sake, picking the right guy to bring in.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. You know, it's fascinating. I look around the league, like, so I want to ask you this, Shogger. So let's say your name is, I don't care, pick a player on the Minnesota Wild. Erickson Ek just signed, right? Got an extension. He's thinking, hey, our team's good. So you're coming into the expansion draft, and you've got Ryan Suter, who's clearly, you know, still a good player, but his best days are behind him. He's not going to be as good moving forward as he was, right? He's 36 years of age. He's got 3 years left on his contract. He's paid 7.58 mil. Lots of money, right? If he agreed to waive his no movement clause, then the organization could protect Matt Dumba, knowing that Seattle's not taking Ryan Suter. Like, if you're a teammate and the organization says, hey, Ryan, do you want to waive your no movement clause for the expansion draft only? And he says no, would that rile you up?
No.
It wouldn't?
Nope. Not at all.
Why?
Because Ryan Suter earned that contract. He earned the right to have a no move. I would imagine he's got a family, and I don't know him, but I would imagine, you know, the reason you asked for that long-term deal in that contract is because you want to lay down roots, and he earned that. And I don't think players judge each other that way. I think it's like, hey, man, he earned that no move, and he doesn't want to risk it. He's got his whole – and you never know what can happen. Like,
he's actually got 4 years. I was wrong. He's got 4 years left, Shogger. Seattle's not taking that contract.
Well, I know that they're likely not taking that contract. Right, for sure.
Yeah, so that's my point. So you waive your no-movement clause only for the expansion draft and knowing Seattle's not going to take you. So there's really no risk.
Well, I know, but maybe he just isn't willing to take the little bit of risk that there actually is. Maybe he's just not willing to do that. And I guess what I'm saying is I just don't think guys would be that judgmental of one another. Like, players all understand it's a business, and they all have family. Well, a lot of them have families, and they all, you earn, you know, you put yourself into a position to sign a deal like that. I don't think anybody should expect you to do anything with regard to your contract. It's yours. You signed it. The team signed it. If anything, be angry at the team for giving a guy that long a no move. Like, yeah, I just don't think players would think that way.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I'd be annoyed.
Like, you potentially lose Matt Dumba, right? And that's significant for the team. And maybe that's why Suter would be willing to do it if he sees the bigger picture and decides, okay, I want us to remain competitive, and here's how it's going to work. But then, so you agree to do that, and they protect Matt Dumba, and then you lose, you know, you end up losing somebody else. One way or another, you know, someone's leaving that locker room, and I don't think the guys would look at him and be like, that's brutal, man. Can't believe he did that. Like, they gave him that no move.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it, but it's, yeah, I don't, there's just no chance Seattle's taking him at that round. And, there's even the option. I wonder, like, obviously the buyout of that is not ideal, but he's not owed a lot of money, right? So I actually want to calculate what his buyout would be. And I wonder for the Minnesota Wild.
I can click on it right now.
I'm doing it as we speak. And so when I look at him, he's, you know, like his cap hit. Where it's tough is there's lots of savings this year, very little the next year, and actually very little
in the
following
for like 3 years. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But there's all their savings are in 1 year this season, right? You would save like $5.2 million, and then you'd save $1.2 million. So not ideal, but because they don't owe a lot of cash ultimately for him. So it definitely doesn't have great benefits in the final 2 years of that deal. There's no question about it. That's why the no movement clause waiving it would make sense for them if he would do it. And because they're a team, because they might lose a goaltender, right? Like, man, Minnesota's an interesting one. Maybe it's Carson Soucy, the local boy. Just outside of Edmonton, of course. Or they might use Kaapo Kähkönen. Right, he's only got 1 year left in his deal. You know, he's only 24 years of age, and in Seattle, like that might be because goaltenders are voodoo a little bit, and you wonder, like, could this guy be a guy that you would take a chance on if you're Seattle?
Yeah, no, they're big time voodoo. There's it's difficult. What was the wasn't there an expansion draft? I can't remember which team it was, where like it was just a ton of goalies were taken.
Oh yeah, I want to say, was that the Atlanta?
Yeah, but the Atlanta one where they took like a pile of goalies in their first, I don't know, in the first little bit. It'll be interesting to see will they stockpile some defensemen because they just know you'll be able to deal those guys and move them around, and is that the right play for them? Like it's going to be really fascinating here. And there's teams like you focused a lot on Minnesota here, right? Where they've got, you know, potentially they got some pretty good players that'll get exposed, and there's a lot of strategery at play. You know, I mean, I'd be really surprised if the Edmonton Oilers announced a deal with Adam Larson before the expansion draft, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. It wouldn't make a ton of sense.
Like,
so.
Like, I think that's one you just wait and do after, don't you?
I would think so.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Now you can protect Caleb Jones, and you can protect.
Yes and no. Let me go back on that. I would have, because I'd have talked about this before. You have to be very certain that Larson for sure is going to sign with you, because you can only have a handshake deal, right? You can't do anything on paper. Yep. Can't do it, right? So you have the handshake deal. But what if Seattle, because let's say, like, I've looked at all the numbers, and it seems like a $4 million range on 4 years is a valid fair market deal for Larson, based on everything over the last 4 years, other guys that are similar to him. And $4 million's probably generous, like maybe 3.8, but whatever. Let's just go four. It's a round number. All of a sudden, you get to the July 18th, and Seattle calls up, you know, Adam, we really want you. We desperately need you. We'll play you 5.5 for 4 years. Well, now we're talking $6 million difference. And then Edmonton can't go to the league and complain, well, he verbally agreed to it, because legally, he wasn't supposed to, right? So,
well, that's where you got to have a little bit of trust between the organization and the player. Like Adam Larson, I mean.
Well, okay, Shogger, I'll ask you this one. Let's say, you know what, I want to be in Edmonton. I like it because I think I'm going to get $4 million, right? Like that's kind of what the going rate is. Okay, we agreed, but we've agreed in silence, but not real.
Yeah.
Is your word worth it to you? And a team came and offered you $1.5 million more for 4 years. Would you suddenly say, well, I can't turn this down, it's $6 million? Or would you say, no, I had verbally agreed, I'll stick to it?
No, when you give someone your word on a deal, you gotta follow through with that, right?
All right, Well, that's why if you're Larson, why would you do it then?
Because you want to win. So you're committing to basically finishing off your career or some important years of your career with Edmonton. You want the team to have an opportunity to win. You're part of the leadership group. you come to terms on a deal, you feel you've been treated fairly, that's the other thing. I mean, you know, do you grind Larson for every penny in a situation like this? Maybe not. Maybe you treat him in a way where it's like, hey, he feels he's been treated fair, happy with the number. And so that deal can hold off for 2.5-3 weeks. And by doing that, you preserve an asset that what's the worth of that asset to the organization? Probably pretty significant. So I just think in certain situations, you're probably okay with a certain guy to, you know, who wants to win, who doesn't want to come back to a team where the decor isn't as good as it was. So he would get it. He would get the big picture. I don't know. I don't know if this is the way it works. Just like we're speculating on Suter and what should happen with his note, I just wonder if you don't sit tight for a couple of weeks, that deal gets locked up right after expansion. Sure, can Seattle whisper in his ear a little bit? And
yes.
Sure. Does Adam Larson want to go to Seattle and play there? I don't know. If he would agree to a deal with the Oilers and the idea was, well, if we hold off a couple of weeks, then, you know, it really helps us out a lot, then I don't know. Maybe you throw something in. Maybe he gets a modified no trade or something like that for doing them a solid. Like, who knows what the negotiation entails, but there's got to be a way to hold off signing a deal for a couple weeks, especially when it's gone this long. You would never do it if it were like 2 months out, but within a matter of a couple weeks here, it's like, maybe you find a way to just wait.
Yeah, like I think the Oilers, they'll told Larson exactly what they're willing to pay him. And he might listen to Seattle just for fun to see if maybe he can use Seattle. Hey, guess what Seattle offered me, right? So, hey, guys, we haven't officially agreed. This is what I want. This is what you want. So that's why I don't think there's an official deal in place, because either side can lose. So you either sign it, and if you both want to do it, then to me, if you lose Caleb Jones, well, then you lose Caleb Jones, because for the organization, they're like, we'd rather lose Caleb Jones and potentially lose Adam Larson. And I think that's why, if it comes down to it, that's a deal they would do.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see how it all shakes out. They need to keep Caleb Jones in that, so they have him to send to Chicago in that deal for Duncan Keith. Nice way to end the segment. See ya.
Ryan Rashad from TSN. Have a good one, buddy.
Okay, see ya.